Welcome to Care Points. I'm your host, Kenny Schiff, Director of Analytics for Lone Star Communications and founder of CareSite. Care Points is a series of conversations with my collaborators at Lone Star, customers, partners, and notable folks in the healthcare industry. Today, I'm talking to Regina Wysocki. Regina is the Informatics Clinical Application Specialist for our Houston office. Prior to joining Lone Star, Regina was an ICU nurse, did legal nurse consulting, and also was a school nurse. She received her master's in healthcare informatics in 2016. I'm super excited to talk to Regina because she's been on all sides of the technology deployment lifecycle. Let's get into it.
Why don't you just give us a brief elevator pitch about who you are and what you do at Lone Star?
Sure. So thank you, Kenny. Good to be here. So I've been at Lone Star for about a year. I'm one of the informatics leads for the Houston office. I have a background in nursing, kind of a little variety of different things in nursing. I was an ICU nurse. I did legal nurse consulting. I was a school nurse. And so I did all that before I came to Lone Star. Got a master's in healthcare informatics in about 2016. And that's what really kind of got me interested in the more technological side of things. So let's see, on the CAS team, we do all kinds of stuff. I mean, in addition to training, we evaluate workflows. We work with clinical staff to see how we can make their jobs easier, do improvements on the nurse call systems that they've got installed. So we do a little bit of everything with our clinical customers.
And who are some of your key customers that you engage with?
Here in the Houston area, you know, Houston's home to the Texas Medical Center, which is one of the biggest medical centers in the world, actually. And so we are partnered with a lot of the really big hospital systems here in Houston. So we work with Houston Methodist, Texas Children's Hospital, which is about to open a new hospital in Austin, actually. HCA, Hospital Corporation of America, we have 9 of their sites. Harris Health, UTMB, and they've got a couple different locations, Galveston, Angleton, Danbury. Those are our major ones, I think. Yeah.
So as we talked about your experiences working with hospitals and topics that we might explore together, one of the ones that you came up with was around having the right people at the table from a technology implementation standpoint. So what we're going to chew on today is the top 5 stakeholders that customers and integrators like Lone Star need to work with for a successful technology implementation. So why don't you start? And you've categorized these by some key organizational areas, and clinical is the first one. So why don't you tell us who's important in that and why? And a lot of times people aren't as successful as they'd like to be, and we want to give them some ideas about how they could do what they do more optimally.
Sure. So clinical, that could include, you know, not just nursing, but, you know, anybody who might be using the system. So sometimes you could have respiratory therapists, physical therapy. One of the hospitals I worked with, sometimes there's physicians involved, unit secretaries, nursing assistants, anybody who is really going to have any sort of interaction with the system. It's a really good idea just to meet with them at the start of a project, try to ascertain what they know about the project, because a lot of the times the clinical staff, you know, they're not the ones who make the budget decisions. And so they don't always know what equipment they're getting or, you know, what's going to be installed or how it's going to interact with some of the other technology they already have. So we found not only at Lone Star, but at some of the other organizations I've worked with, you have to have the clinical involvement from the very beginning, just to get an understanding of what their workflows are, what their pain points are. You know, what is a typical day like for a nurse or a unit secretary? It's going to be very different workflows in an ICU at a big hospital versus a med-surg unit versus a emergency room. So there's all sorts of different things you have to take into consideration. And I think it's important to it just helps get buy-in from the staff. I've shown up to needs assessment meetings or trainings and just been surprised that the clinical staff didn't know weren't involved in the project from the very beginning. So sometimes you have to do a little bit of extra explaining and just kind of help them, you know, understand what actually is being installed. And because we're brought into the process, you know, towards the end a lot of the time. But one thing I think that Lone Star is really good at is trying to get ahead of all that and get the CAS team kind of involved from the beginning.
Let me stop you a second, just for clarification.
Sorry. Yeah.
of the transcriber. So CAS, clinical
application specialists.
Right. Yes. And in that role, you're kind of technology life cycle-er, so that you're there before, and then you're there during, and then you're also there after, right? So
correct.
So you get to know these people, and some of them may be lower paid. Doesn't mean that they're any less important. They may not be paid attention to as much as is warranted, right? So you kind of have to keep everybody on the same page.
Right, yeah. And we've also found too that if you get the right information from the right clinical people at the beginning, it saves you time at the end. You don't have to go back and reprogram stuff. You don't have to change your training. You know, it just helps to have that voice at the table from the very beginning.
Absolutely. And you need all levels, right? So
sure.
The leadership may have been involved in the decision making or in the sort of higher level goals. But it doesn't mean that an aide or a unit coordinator is any less important, right? They could be super key to the success of the project.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you want to talk to as many people and work with as many people who are actually going to be using the technology every day, because they'll give you insight into things you never even thought of. And people like unit secretaries and nurse techs, they know everybody in that unit. They know everything that goes on. They know where to find everything. I mean, they're the best resources as well. So you really want to make sure you build a good relationship with them too.
Right. And in addition to the kind of hardcore implementation elements and the management of the implementation and project, training ends up being a really important part of the work that you do. So the kind of matching up of the desired outcomes with the user behaviors. So in your notes, you talk about super users. So how do you find those people, and how do you support and encourage those people, and how do they remain an important part of keeping the success of the work going?
We found that it's, especially with the big hospital systems we work with in the Houston area, you know, some of these units could have 100 nurses, 150, 200 staff. And especially, you know, with COVID and the pandemic, staffing changed so much, and people went to all different sorts of places to work. But, you know, we've really tried to adopt a super user model rather than go and train every single person. We try to train key people on the units. And so we've found that nursing education is always, they're great people to be super users because they're already training staff. And, you know, a lot of times what I do is I'll ask the nursing directors or managers, okay, who are your tech savvy people? You know, who are the people that are not scared of something new being implemented and they just want to jump in there and figure it out? I was that nurse on the unit, right? You know, some people would run from new technology, but then other people, it's not always an age or a generational thing. You know, it's just some people just have an affinity for the technology and they're able to explain it really well to their peers. Those are the people that you want to ask the educators to kind of gather for the super user team. And I've also found out too, and you know, sometimes this is successful and sometimes not, the people sometimes that are the most resistant to the change, that really don't want to work with the technology, I bring them in even more and try to work with them even more, because there's a variety of reasons why they might be hesitant to work with the new technology. And until you bring their perspective to the table as well, sometimes you'll find out things that you didn't know. And sometimes those people who were the least excited about it will be your best champions. You just kind of have to bring them into the fold and get them involved.
Right. So the bringing in, right. So the, you know, I would have to say that in my experience from a training perspective or from a new technology implementation perspective, the people who are harshest were the ones who didn't feel paid attention to. So in your partnering with those people, in spite of maybe what may feel like them being cold or otherwise distant, bringing them into the mix can have a great effect on the overall success of the work you're doing. Let's shift gears. You know, you think technology, of course, you think IT. In my experience in working with hospital customers, it's complex. IT is typically overwhelmed. They got a lot of project work going on. They're trying to do the best they can to advocate for the end users, but they aren't always in a position to know all the things that they need to know. So tell us about your experience with IT and some things that would be tips for IT success in a implementation.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of the times IT departments will be overseeing a lot of these implementations. You know, they understand the master, I guess, strategy, the strategic initiatives that the hospital is working towards. And, you know, they often will control the timelines and they're able to help schedule when things should go live, and because they just know what else is going on at the organization. It's really helpful if there's an IT project manager. I've noticed a lot of hospitals are starting to do that. They'll have specific project managers that work in the IT department. And so they're able to kind of help, you know, coordinate all the deliverables and keep everybody on the same page. They can also help you, you know, understand all these hospitals have multiple different technologies, and some of them talk to one another and some of them don't, and some of them are affected by others. And so you really need to work with IT to kind of understand that, because every, you know, Kenny, every organization sets their stuff up differently and interfaces it differently and uses different ways to get the information and the data out to people. So it sometimes takes a while to really find who the people are in IT that you really need to be working with, especially in these huge hospital systems that have multiple campuses and hundreds of projects going on at one time. Sometimes it takes a while to find the right person, but it's doable. Once you kind of build that partnership with the IT department, they can help. You can't do a project without them.
Well, something like nurse call and the related technologies, whether it be RTLS or mobile voice or integrations to things like EHR, et cetera, the end users, many cases, don't know the difference between these systems. And the work that Lone Star ends up having to do, you may not have jurisdiction or visibility to something that could greatly impact the outcome you're responsible for. So, because in many cases, these are systems of systems, as they like to say. So finding the folks in the organization that kind of have that macro view of all things, and but also a micro view of how things are ending up the way they are is really important. So in your notes, you mentioned partnership between IT and clinical. So sometimes that doesn't happen by itself inside the organization, right?
No, it does not. No, that is hard if you kind of find yourself in a situation where IT and clinical are just not as connected as you would like them to be. You know, maybe they don't have any sort of formal informatics department, or, you know, it's just, they're such a big organization, it's hard for them to get connected. So yes, that does make it challenging. You just have to try to keep everybody on the same page and make sure you find out who's responsible for what and what the deadlines are, which is also sometimes challenging. Yeah.
Right. But as an integrator, and right, a company like Lone Star is ultimately an integrator, you're in a unique position in that you can act as a bridge between entities that may not have reason to interact that well with each other. So, so you mentioned in the last thread about informatics. So obviously, because of your background, near and dear to your heart, And, but it could be, informatics could be different depending on what organization you're in. And some people may not have a good understanding of the role of informatics in this type of work. So maybe you could start a little bit there at just sort of sharing a little bit about why informatics is a critical success factor.
Sure, sure. Yes, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about nursing informatics, because that is definitely near and dear to my heart. So when I started, when I got my master's degree, I went back to the hospital setting and I worked in a nursing informatics department. Now some or one organization I worked for had informatics under the clinical umbrella. And then the next organization I worked for had informatics under the IT umbrella. So those were very two different experiences. An informatics specialist really is, like you said, is the bridge, right, between the disciplines of the clinical world and the IT world. You know, people who have worked on either side of that fence know how hard it is, how difficult it is to communicate with the other side, right? You know, I've been in meetings where, when I used to work in hospital systems, where the IT people would come in and talk at a very high technical level, and you could tell that the clinical people had absolutely no idea what they were saying. And then by the same token, clinical people, you know, we have 1,001 acronyms for everything, and they start talking in medical speak, and then the IT people have no idea what they're talking about. So a lot of hospital systems, a lot of organizations now have informatics departments. And, you know, it's a specialty that's really only been around for about, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 years. And it's very popular now, but a lot of people still don't know what it is. And I have friends who are nurses who still ask me, what do you do? Like, I don't even understand what it is you do. So the way I like to explain it to people is, you know, I'm the translator between clinical people and the IT people. And that was one of the things that really drew me to this role at Lone Star, because that's what we do. I mean, we go out and we do needs assessments and workflow analysis and get all the information from clinical. And then we take that back to Lone Star, to our programmers and our project managers and, you know, everybody who needs to install the system and build the hardware and do all that sort of stuff. So, you know, we really are that kind of bridge between those two worlds. But like I said, it's interesting because some healthcare organizations value that role and they understand the importance of it. And then other organizations, due to either budget or, you know, other issues, they don't have as robust an informatics department as I would like, because they're the best people that I like to work with. So I think that's where Lone Star, our clinical application specialist team, we can come in and help and provide that translation and be that bridge for the people in those organizations that can't always communicate well with one another.
Yeah. And so since what we're exploring is success factors from an implementation standpoint, the interesting thing about certain kinds of technology, especially that has an infrastructure core to it, is that the tendency is to not necessarily think about how it would be used or the outcomes of the results of it. So the informaticist is somebody whose eye is always going to be on the prize, which is either efficiency, reduction in errors, optimization of how work gets accomplished. And so maybe some people consider that nice to have, but if you don't do it, there's an enormous risk to A, not making good on your investment because you didn't do the things necessary to support it, but also just missing key aspects of what could make it be success. So there's a level of kind of oversight that the informatics role brings to the table.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And, you know, one thing I've noticed in probably the past 5 or 6 years, especially in the Houston area, is pretty much all the organizations here already have chief medical informatics officers. But now I can think of 3 big hospital systems in Houston within the last couple of years that have now, they now have chief chief nursing informatics officers. And so that's a huge win, in my opinion, because now you've got someone who's got clinical background and, you know, business acumen and all sorts of expertise at the C-suite level. And so that makes a huge difference as well. Two of the big hospital systems that Lone Star works with have CNIOs now. And so they're a fantastic resource to have on board with us.
And it's all a matter of alignment. By having those people at an executive level, whatever technology is brought in is brought in for a reason other than just checking a list like, okay, I'm right. building a new unit. I got to meet code.
And this will be nice to have. Yeah.
Right. So let's talk about other partners. Different organizations have this broken down differently. You know, in the old days, biomed was an isolated thing. Clinical engineering might be an isolated thing. And who do they belong to? Increasingly, the responsibilities are now part of IT organizations, whereas, you know, 5-10 years ago, those roles were not integrated from a organizational standpoint. So tell us about biomedical engineering and the import from a project success standpoint.
Yeah. So, until I started working in informatics in the hospital setting, I really didn't, like you said, biomedical engineering was something that was just kind of there, you know, maybe behind the curtain. I never really knew what it was that they did or how important they were. So any sort of medical device, you know, that touches a patient, whether it's like an IV pump or the cardiac monitors, the ventilators, you know, anything that is going to come in contact with the patient or be used on the patient has to be, it's a medical device. So of course it has to be FDA cleared, but then you also have to have experts at the hospital site who understand, first of all, how all of this equipment works, because, you know, you think about a ventilator, it's a very complex piece of machinery, right? So they have to understand how all of these work. They have to be able to troubleshoot them and fix them. But then they also, there's asset management involved. They have to track all these devices. They have to keep up with them. Anybody who's ever worked in a hospital, you know, knows that IV pumps disappear and poles disappear. And where did that bed go? So there's a lot that biomedical engineering departments do. And so again, you know, like those unit secretaries, when I've been at hospitals and have rounded with either biomed or facilities, they know everybody in the hospital, right? Like if you say, oh, I'd like to talk to so-and-so in this unit, they know exactly who to get you in touch with, you know, because they touch all departments. They work with everybody across the hospital. So, I mean, they're a valuable resource just in and of that fact itself. But also you have to work with them because in the instance of, you know, nurse call, of course, everybody knows how nurse call works. You push the button and, you know, the alert goes to the appropriate person. But biomedical engineering, you have to really partner with them sometimes when things aren't working correctly. If alerts aren't going where they need to go, is it a programming issue that we might need to fix? Or is it an equipment issue that the site needs to troubleshoot? But you have to work together to figure those things out sometimes. Sometimes it's like a mystery, you know, you kind of have to walk around and push the call bells and kind of see where the alert goes and look at it in the programming and then look at the actual equipment. You have to be on site to look at it. So sometimes it takes a while to figure all of that stuff out, but your biomed people are a great resource to help with that. And a lot of times I've noticed they seem to be getting involved in the process more from the beginning, which I also think is important because they have budgets as well. They understand that there's certain projects going on that they have to budget for, and they have to buy cords and they have to buy connectors and all sorts of equipment. So, you know, I've had projects delayed because we were waiting for equipment that had to be not just nurse call equipment, but equipment that the hospital had to procure. So, yeah, I've learned so much from working with biomed. I never knew they did everything they did, but they're definitely a great resource to have on your side.
And depending on the facility, biomed may own some of the technology that you're deploying. Mm-hmm. So where it may have shifted in some cases where IT is sort of the larger owner of it, more often than not, biomedical engineering may be the owner of the physical plant, and they may have a lot to say about it.
Yes.
I think from all the things that you're talking about, I'm almost imagining a diagram where kind of the classic Venn diagram where there are these overlapping circles, so that, you know, informatics and IT are very related, as is biomedical engineering. And then the next one we're going to get to is facilities. So in the old days, facilities may have been, you know, the only people you interacted with, but right. They're an important partner, but they're not the only partner.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, it's the same thing with biomed. And a lot of times these like biomed and facilities are in the same department at some sites as well too. So there's not really a distinct difference between them sometimes, but some of the smaller hospitals there seems to be. But what I found is facilities sometimes is more of non-patient. Well, I don't know if that's the right word. How would I say it? Not so much medical devices, but more of like beds and telephones and infrastructure, equipment, stuff like that. And again, like with biomed, they work with every single department in that hospital. They know everybody. You walk around with facilities or biomed and everybody talks to them. So they can get you in touch with all kinds of people that maybe you haven't been able to get your foot in the door with. So they understand how the hospital works. They understand the culture. And a lot of times they've worked there for a long time. And so they just really understand how things work in the hospital and how things flow. And you have to have them involved, just like biomed.
So feels like getting to know who everybody is at the beginning is pretty important. So I would imagine that the hard work in the early going is getting to know the lay of the land. And any other kind of closing thoughts about the stakeholders required for a successful technology implementation?
Well, you know, I think I would say, and I guess I think this is, people would just automatically know this, but I think it needs to be said that, you know, out of these five examples, there isn't one that's more important than the other, right? They all bring a different perspective to the table. They're all needed. They all have expertise in different areas because our healthcare system, our hospitals are so complex. There's so much technology. There's no way one group or team or person can know everything. So I think sometimes when people think, oh, I have to get all these people involved, and you know, they're just gonna, it's just gonna be too much, and we're not gonna be able to make any decisions. But it's just, you just have to think of it from a different perspective of everybody's important, but for a different reason, right? I found just being at Lone Star that our project managers, our internal project managers, they know a lot of people as well, so they can. Sometimes, a lot of times, they can give me names of people that I need to connect with even before I go meet with these sites for the first time. So that's very helpful as well. So, you know, it's all about, it's going to sound corny, it's all about teamwork, right? Everybody has a part to play and everybody's important, and it runs smoother if everyone's kind of working towards the same goal.
And the integrator has a critical role in the facilitation of that teaming, and the projects themselves give the team purpose. So paying attention to each of the constituencies is ultimately the pillar of success.
Yeah, I like that. I would agree for sure.
All right.
Thanks for listening to my conversation with Regina Wysocki. You can find CarePoints on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast platform. Make sure to subscribe and get notified of the latest episodes when we release them. You can find links to our episodes and a sign-up form on our website, www.lonestarcom.com/podcast. That's www.lonestarcom.com/podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Hoping to see you again soon.